Oh, there he is. Over here in the corner. This is the last Sunday of 2025. Did you think we'd make it? Well, here we are. And a lot of you are similar in age to me, and you know it won't be that long before we'll be saying, oh, it's the last Sunday of 2026, if the Lord waits, because time just seems to be going by so fast. What I want to talk about this morning, though, is kind of an odd idea, but programming our memories for not 2026, but actually programming our memories for 2027. Because this is the way it works, and you know this is how it works. Randomly, it seems, out of nowhere, I'll think of some dumb thing that I did in the past. Yeah, I hear Matt laughing over here. Are you thinking about the dumb things I did in the past? Okay, no. He's thinking about some other things somebody else did in the past. But this is the way our minds work. And I think of those things, and I never know which one of those dumb things it's going to be that'll just occur to me. And I'll just go, oh, man, why did I do that? I'm still suffering from mistakes I've made in the past. Now, am I forgiven for those things? Well, of course I'm forgiven through the blood of Christ. But I think there's a reason why we have those memories and why they recur and why they still hurt after decades, perhaps. And even things, I still remember things I did as a child that I regret, that I thought, wow, does that reflect on my character today, what I did when I was just a child? I don't know. I've got a lot of questions about things like that. But here's what this lesson is about. I would like to make it to 2027 with as few of those things being new as possible. So when I have regrets that I remember in 2027, it'll be about things that happened before 2025. Does that make any mathematical sense at all, any chronological sense? Well, what's the only way to do that? We got to program ourselves to be like Jesus. And you're probably going, well, duh, Marty, isn't that what we're supposed to do all the time? Well, yes, it is, but I want you to think of it this way. The benefit that comes to us in time of living like Christ is only going to come in time. It's the moment. It's the moment that trips us up all the time. But in time, we remember those moments that tripped us up. In time, we remember our sins. We remember our mistakes. And so if we can train ourselves to think more like Jesus and to give ourselves more to those things that Jesus' apostles taught us to give ourselves to, our memories in the future are going to be so much better. Now, this text that Benjamin read for us, this is Paul writing to the church at Rome. And he's writing about how everyone comes to be under sin. We're going to eventually get down to chapter 3 and verse 23 where he says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, or and are coming short of the glory of God. But this is part of that text where he gets down to that. And this is what he says. All who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law, and all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. That doesn't sound very good, does it? That sounds like everybody's going to be in trouble. It's not the hearers of the law who are justified before God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For when the Gentiles, now the Gentiles didn't have the law. That's what he's pointing out. When the Gentiles who do not have the law do instinctively the things of the law, these, not having the law, are a law to themselves. In that they show the work of the law written where? Written in their hearts. God wrote the law that he wants in our hearts, and that I think to a huge degree is already in our hearts. There are things we know instinctively. That's the English word that's used here. We know some things are right and some things are wrong, and we have to teach and train ourselves not to think that some things are right or wrong. That's how we get error so deeply ingrained in life, as we teach ourselves away from what's right. He goes on to say, in that they show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts alternately accusing or else defending them. Now their conscience and their thoughts, those are things that consider the past, what we've already done. But if we listen to Christ, if we listen to his apostles, if we take their teachings to heart and practice those things, it's going to be less and less and less of that condemnation taking place. All sin will be covered by the grace of Christ if we come to Christ with that sin. But we'll still remember it, won't we? We'll still think of it. It'll still hurt. There's a purpose in that. But I'd like for there to be as few of that, as little of that as possible. And here's the thing. This is not simply about me and you remembering our sins and having fewer sins to remember. Because this isn't just about me and it's not just about you. Jesus said that we are to be lights in this world. That we are to be salt. It's not simply that I remember things I do that are wrong. It's that others remember things that I do wrong. And as I wear the name of Christ in this community and everywhere I go, when I do the things that are wrong, that can stick in the minds of some people and give Christ a bad name and give the Lord's church a bad name. I don't want that. I want my life, I want my speech, I want everything that I practice to be such that it would lead people to God. I think that's the point of the Holy Spirit being in us, that others can see God's work in our lives and be led to God through us. Because I don't know how you feel about yourself, but I think if God can save me, he can save anybody. He can pull anybody out of the muck and out of the mud and out of the dirt. He can take care of us. He can provide grace and mercy, and that's what the gospel is all about. And so these things are written in our hearts, and they're written in the hearts of others as well, and we want to live before them as we ought to. And the devil, I think, uses bad memories to destroy our spirit and destroy our hope. How many times have you thought about things that you've done and thought to yourself, how can I ever be saved? How can I ever make it having these things in my history? But I'm telling you, that's the glory of God. It's not to God's glory and to God's credit that he saves righteous people. It's to God's glory and to God's credit. And he tells us this. It's to his glory and his credit that he saves us in our sin. He saves us. So, what are a few things that we can do in the new year that might help us out? Well, here's one. Look at Romans 14. We'll go from chapter 2 to Romans 14. Just going to talk about three things this morning that are like things, I might say. And when you find other things that are like these that we're talking about this morning, do them. You know what I'm saying. You know the nature of godliness. Romans chapter 14. This whole chapter is about things that individual Christians practice in their private lives that are not overtly immoral or wrong, or ungodly or unscriptural. They're just things that they decide to practice. And Paul is writing to the church at Rome in this chapter to say, don't be judging one another about those things. Examples are, for example, eating meat. Some folks don't eat meat. Okay, you don't eat meat. That doesn't have anything to do with your Christianity per se. So you choose not to eat meat. You want to be a vegetarian. You want to be a vegan. Be a vegetarian. Be a vegan. You want to eat meat. That's fine. If I'm a vegetarian and you're eating meat, that shouldn't offend me. That's your private decision. We just had Christmas. Some people observe Christmas. Some people don't. Let everybody do privately what they want to do privately, as long as it's not immoral or ungodly. Let people make their own decisions about such things as that. I think that's what Romans 14 is addressing. And so we get down to chapter 14 and verse 13. He just flat out says, let us not judge one another anymore. So when he says anymore, that means, well, they've been doing it. Well, let's not do that anymore. But rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or stumbling block in a brother's way. So judging one another. Now, we know there's a passage in Matthew, Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, judge not lest ye be judged. For with what judgment you meet, it shall be measured to you again. What is Jesus teaching us? He's teaching us that as you judge, it's going to be coming back to you. So if you judge others, if you look at others with an eye filled with grace and mercy, if you give the benefit of the doubt, if you will surrender your desire to castigate somebody else and just say, well, bless their heart, I'm sure they mean well. Is it okay to say bless your heart in that context? I'm going to. What I'm saying is, let people off the hook. Don't try to find fault. Don't be a critic. Criticism is what we call low-hanging fruit. Anybody can criticize. And the reason anybody can criticize is because each one of us have things that need criticizing. Every one of us have our own faults. Every one of us make mistakes. And I don't want to live, I don't know about you, but I don't want to live in a world, I don't want to live in a state, I don't want to live in a family where I know eyes are on me all the time to pick out every fault that I have, every misspeak, every misdeed. I want to live with grace. And so I think Paul is encouraging the church, live with grace towards one another. Don't be judging one another. Don't be looking for faults. Now, you and I know that actions, well, you can judge actions. Somebody steals something, that's stealing, that's theft, and that needs to be corrected. Somebody tells a lie, well, that's being dishonest, and that needs to be corrected. But there's so many things that are not overtly one way or the other, but we still will take time to criticize. Well, I think they do that because of this. Well, what do you know about anything? Just Paul is saying, don't be doing those things. Don't be judging one another. Judging, can you think of anything good that judging other people produces? If you've got that attitude, everywhere you go, everybody you see, you're judging people. I remember being in a car with some people, and we're just driving down the road, and there's a fellow walking down the street, and somebody in the car said, well, look at that idiot over there. I was there, it happened. That time it wasn't me. But that's the kind of thing we do sometimes. We just see somebody, and in our mind, we automatically assess something bad about them, and we just let it be blurted out. Now, if you do that in your mind, that's one thing. It's like the guy said once, I guess it was a guy, might have been a girl, said you can't stop the birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair. That's not a problem with me, but you get what he's saying. Things are going to come into your head, thoughts that are no good, and you're going, oh, why did I think that? Well, you think that because you're a human being. That's what human beings do. We think dumb things. We think mean things. We think evil things. But it's what you do with it that really counts. Are you going to speak it? Are you going to give it voice? Just because something comes in your head, here's a sermon right here. Just because something comes in your head doesn't mean you need to say it. Can I get an amen? All right. Whew, that's a lesson that all of us can learn. Criticism, if you think about it, it's often based in arrogance. It's based in self-righteousness. You look at that guy walking down the street and you say, well, look at that idiot over there. Well, that's because you don't think you're an idiot. You think you're something great. You're something special. But you have the right, you have the high standing in life to be able to look at somebody else and think of them as an idiot and tell somebody else, I think that guy's an idiot. What's your basis? Well, just what I'm looking at. He just looks to me like, I keep pointing over there where the blood people are. I shouldn't do that. I didn't realize when I see through the window that they're over there working. And sowing and reaping still counts. Remember what Jesus said, judge not lest you be judged. His apostle said in another place, as we sow, as you plant the seed, so shall you reap the harvest. If we go about with evil judgments on our lips towards others, you know what's going to come back to us? Yeah, you get it, you see it. Well, let's talk about another thing right here in chapter 14. You drop down to verse 19, Romans 14:19. So then, We pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. So first we talked about judging, something not to do. Teach ourselves, train ourselves not to judge people. And if internally in the mind we judge somebody, at least don't say it. Don't make it known to somebody else what your judgment is. Nobody needs to hear that. Doesn't produce any good, doesn't build anybody up. But now he's saying, do this instead. Pursue the things that make for peace. What will bring peace? What if in that car, that fella who said what we talked about earlier instead looked over there and said, look there, there's a soul that needs the gospel. I wonder if anybody's ever talked to him about Jesus. Now, where does your mind go when you hear somebody make an observation about that or ask such a question? You start thinking things that make for peace. You start thinking kinder thoughts, gentler thoughts, more godly thoughts. You're thinking in a way that Jesus thought. He came down here to do the work of his Father, and the work of his Father was to go everywhere preaching the gospel because everybody is lost. I doubt seriously that Jesus would have sat quiet if any of his apostles had said, well, look at that idiot over there. I don't think he would have told him. He said, what are you talking about? Wait a minute. That's not why we're here. That's not the kind of spirit you should be of. Let's follow the things that make for peace. Always build one another up. Back to the Sermon on the Mount again. What did Jesus call the peacemakers? He said, first of all, they'll be blessed. If you pursue things that make for peace, Jesus said, you will be blessed. And he said you'd be called something. Do you remember what he said you'd be called? This is Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9. The peacemakers will be called sons of God, children of God, daughters of God, if you will, because you're acting like your Father. Jesus told the Pharisees, Sadducees, the scribes, he said, you're sons of the devil because you act like your father, the devil. He was a liar from the beginning and you're liars. So when we do the deeds of God, we become like God's children. And that's what we're being taught here, to do the things that God teaches us to do, to be peacemakers. And I've thought about this. When I give someone the benefit of the doubt, number one, I don't lose anything. It doesn't hurt. As a matter of fact, it makes me feel better. There's much more peace when I give someone the benefit of the doubt. When I refuse to judge, to condemn. Now when there's a time for judging and condemnation, then do the judging and do the condemnation and do the correction. But don't make it your habit to just do that automatically about everything in every situation. And when I do give the benefit of the doubt, I have so much more peace. When I'm not looking to criticize others, peace is the result. Peace is what we're being taught here by Jesus, apostle. And peace is what we should pursue if we want to be called the children of God. James chapter 3 tells us something about this that is, well, everything that James teaches is fantastic, but this in particular. Go with me to James chapter 3 and start with me at verse 13. You ladies, you'll be familiar with this, I'm sure. You've been having a study with Aaron on Wednesday nights, and we'll just come back and I'll make use of what you guys have studied. Remind you of this. James chapter 3, verse 13. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. Does that get your attention when he says demonic? Oh, we don't believe in demons much. We haven't seen one of those. Oh, their influence is real, and it's among us. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And then he says this in verse 18. This kind of caps it off. The seed whose fruit is righteousness, is sown in peace by those who make peace. The seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. That's quite a statement. Holy Spirit says to James, write this down, James. And he wrote it down. 2,000 years later, we're still reading it. And we're still being taught by it. What's he talking? He's talking about a progression, a natural progression. You plant seed, and what do you do after you plant seed? Well, you might water it. You might keep the weeds away from it. But basically what you're going to do is you're going to wait. You're going to wait. Because that seed will eventually produce something, but it may not produce it like that. You plant the seed, you sow the seed, and it has a fruit. It's interesting how that works with fruit trees. You plant the apple seed, and then you see a little sprout come up. Well, okay, tomorrow you're going to get apples? Probably not tomorrow. You're going to have to wait until it grows into a tree. And it's going to be until it comes to be a mature tree that it'll finally have some apples on it. It might take a while. Why do we have apples today? We have apples today because sometime in the past somebody planted an apple tree. Do you like apples? I like apples. I like squash. My wife doesn't know why, but I like squash. And I have to cook it when she's not there because I put garlic in it. And I have to walk around by myself for a while after I eat it because I put garlic in it. But everything that we eat, all those vegetables, all those fruits, somebody somewhere in the past put a seed in the ground and something came from that seed. And that's what James is talking about here. Those who make peace, they sow the seeds and you wait for the fruit. It's sown in righteousness, but fruit comes eventually, and that fruit is peace and righteousness and every good thing that comes down with the wisdom that's from heaven. This is what we need to train ourselves to do throughout the year. Refrain from judging people. Do those things which make for peace. Always pursue what is good. And one more we'll talk about before we finish this lesson. Well, wait a minute. I got one more thing I want to mention about making peace. Sometimes you're doing great, and then somebody comes alongside you who starts talking about somebody else and criticizing. We have a word for that. It is called gossip. Now, how do you stop a gossip? Well, I'm not exactly sure, because if they really want to, they'll just keep on doing it. But how do you stop them from giving gossip to you? Well, here's something you can do. For example, arm yourself with interesting, trivial facts. And when somebody says to you, hey, have you heard about so-and-so and what they did this? You can respond to them, did you know that an adult male polar bear can weigh up to 1,500 pounds? What? And then you can throw in behind that, researchers also discovered that adult female polar bears don't like being asked about their weight. Now, it sounds silly, doesn't it? But that'll put an end to some gossip right there. People will figure out pretty fast, I don't need to be telling what I've got to this guy. He's not going to listen to me. Just learn a few things like that that you can throw out there. Be about anything you want. Did you know you could use soured milk in recipes and it comes out just fine? That's a great fact. That's a useful fact. You probably can't use much about a 1,500-pound polar bear, but sour milk can be useful. Don't throw it all away. And that'll stop gossip. Did you know soured milk could stop gossip? That's free. I'll just throw that out there. All right. Galatians chapter 5. Where we're going next and where we'll end this lesson. If we would learn to be like Jesus and do what his apostle tells us to do here and serve one another, create a lot of great memories and keep away from a lot of bad ones. The churches of Galatia were having problems with people who were coming in and teaching things that they shouldn't teach. And this is the letter that he writes, and he puts twice in the first chapter, if anybody teaches a gospel other than one we've delivered to you, let him be accursed. Now there's a proper judgment. That's where you can tell that somebody's doing something that's absolutely wrong and needs to be corrected. He says it twice, let them be accursed. But he gets down to chapter 5, verse 13, and he's not talking about that anymore. He's talking about this. He says, you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. I think the Holy Spirit was reminding Paul that our tendency is when you get an advantage, sometimes you'll use that advantage to do something you shouldn't be doing. Sometimes money changes people. Money is a wonderful servant, but sometimes folks get money, and instead of money becoming their servant, money becomes their master. It's a great opportunity to have money, but sometimes it works against you, and so it's kind of the same thing. If you get money, use your money for good. Don't let money become your master. Now, he's not talking about money here. He's just talking about freedom in Christ. Do not use your freedom in Christ as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, do what? Serve one another. Serve one another. This reminds me of what Jesus said in Matthew 25 about the final judgment. Sheep on the right, goats on the left. And he says, inasmuch as you have given drink to one of these thirsty ones, inasmuch as you fed one of these hungry ones, inasmuch as you have given clothing to one of these naked ones and visited in prison and gone to the... whatever you've done for them, you've done it to me. And they said, when did we ever do that for you? And Jesus said, inasmuch as you have done it unto the... remember that phrase? Into the least of these. Unto the least of these, Jesus said, you've done it to me. Jesus is not concerned about status. He's concerned about our hearts. And so he has his apostle write to us here. Chapter 5 and verse 13. Through love, serve one another. Serve. Do what you can to help someone else. It's all organic. It all comes together. Don't judge people. Serve them. Don't talk bad about people. Serve them. Do those things that make for peace. And serving people will make for peace like nothing else will. Jesus came to serve. He didn't come to be served. King of kings and Lord of lords, but he comes to serve. That's what we've been singing about this morning, is the service that Jesus provided us to teach us to do the same. And if we live like that, we will find that in 2027, we're going to have a great year to look back on. Last text, 1 Peter chapter 5, or 1 Peter chapter 3. This is a quote. The one who desires life, to love and see good days, that's what we're talking about, want to see good days, must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears attending to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. That's a great passage from Psalm 34. Where are the eyes of the Lord? The eyes of the Lord are towards the righteous. Are the eyes of the Lord toward you this morning? You find yourself in Christ, or are you outside of Christ? These are things that will make for peace. Giving up, passing judgment on others, seeking peace and pursuing it. These are the kinds of things that God wants us to do, and his eyes are on those who do these kinds of things. These are his children. Are you one of his children? We're going to sing a song of invitation and encouragement. The gospel is a simple plan that Jesus gave us. Put your faith in him. Confess his name. As you repent, you let someone bury you in water and you rise to walk in newness of life. It's a simple plan. And rising up from that baptism, you'll find peace because your sins will be forgiven. We want to invite you to take advantage of that this morning, or if you need prayers, whatever your need might be this morning, please come forward and let us know what it is that we can help you while we stand and sing together.